Okay, now we come to message two. And there's two very important thoughts here from God's point of view. God needs our cooperation. Now, when God was creating the universe, he didn't need anyone, he didn't need anything. But now, to carry out his purpose and for his will to be done, he needs our cooperation. And the extent to which we cooperate will enable God for his will to be done on the earth. And then also, as this the topic says, he needs our prayers that express God's will. And please notice it says prayers that express his will. I can't go in detail for this one comment I will make right now. And that is, there are prayers that are not really prayers. Now, what does that mean? How can you say a prayer is not a prayer? Well, it is a prayer because it's the form of language. You're speaking something to God, you're asking, or you're declaring, but from God's point of view, if the source and the nature of the prayer, if it's not of God, then from God's view, he would say, this is not a genuine prayer. And I've been in countless number of prayer meetings. For an hour, and quite often, not always, but quite often, the meeting was filled with prayers composed by the brothers and sisters, but it was very clear they're not the prayers that have its source in God himself. So I mention this for all of us are learning. I'm still learning. That's yesterday. I spent a certain amount of time studying this. What is genuine prayer? And here we will emphasize one aspect of the prayer, and that is prayer for his will. So God has these two needs. He needs cooperation. Human beings that are one with him, that will have the same burden and who will do his will. And also he needs prayers that express his will. Notice this word express. When we pray, we will be expressing something. But here, the Lord needs prayers that express his will. So now we can go through the outline. And the first two points just introduce the subject. If we seek the Lord's will, but are actually inclined to carry out our own desires, we may deceive ourselves. So this could actually happen in a so-called religious way, we may feel we are seeking the Lord's will. But actually, what we're really seeking is to carry out our own desires. Then we are deceiving ourselves. So it's quite wise for us, as we're coming together to pray, we don't be too quick. We turn our heart to the Lord, apply in faith the power of his blood, and exercise our spirit to release something in our prayer that's related to God's heart's desire and his eternal purpose. We don't want to deceive ourselves thinking. Just recently, I mean within the last week, I was in a meeting where some of the brothers, and they're not little boys, they're in their 70s with decades of experience. They just mentioned how what a wonderful time of praying. But in that meeting, 70% of the brothers and sisters were silent. And others had long prayers composed. The reason I mention this is that we would be humble before God, that we will not have the thought or the feeling that prayer, I know a lot about that. I have a lot of experience. Well, I'm not denying any of that, but we don't want to deceive ourselves. We want our prayer to be genuine, for it to be real. Then the second point, we should seek the Lord's will without having any other desire but to know his will and do it. Now, in our personal life with the Lord, based upon Philippians chapter 4, when we're having that kind of personal prayer, we can open our being, we can make known to him any feeling, any need, any pain. We're not setting that aside. But we're talking about the prayer ministry of the church. And when we are seeking to do the Lord's will, we want to have nothing else that is desiring us. We're coming together in a small group, sometimes just three or four saints. Lord, we are here to serve you by praying for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now we come to the two crucial points, cooperation and then the prayer concerning his will. And there is a particular message given by Brother Nee that I read more than once, again and again, about God needing our cooperation. And I'm mentioning again, as I did in the beginning, when he created the universe, it didn't need the help of any angels. There weren't any angels. But now that he has created human beings with a will, meaning the ability to make decisions, because we were created to express him and represent him, then his need for our cooperation becomes evident. And so this is not just a theory. This is a genuine need that God has in this present age. It won't be in the new heaven and the new earth. There will not be that need. But now in time and space, for his heart's desire and his purpose to be carried out, then he needs cooperation. And so as we go through this, may the Lord enlighten us little by little for us to realize, each one of us here, you have a portion in cooperating with Christ. And here I want to pause for something that's again and again in my being as the Lord is leading. And I shared this with the trainees, teaching a class. But from time to time, I just wanted to encourage all the brothers and sisters of all ages. You need to realize something. You have a portion of Christ that no one else has. God created you in a particular way, and he saved you and regenerated you. And now Christ is making his home in your heart. But he wants you to know you have a portion of the all-inclusive Christ. Every one of you in the meeting place, each one of you has a measure, a portion of Christ that no one else has. That's why we need to have meetings where we just share with one another. We shouldn't think, oh, I can't give a message. I can't give a conference. Well, that is not the main thing we have weekly. If we would just realize that we have a measure, a portion, and because we were created with this capacity, and we were given this context, the context, after we have been saved, the Lord wants us to realize now, with the portion of God in Christ you have, please learn to coordinate with me, to cooperate with me. And this is something we learn. Consider the Lord's final move toward the end of this age will be focused on Europe. And he has many things to carry out before the Antichrist is manifested. And he wants to make it known to us aspects of his will so that we could cooperate with him for this portion of his will to be carried out. And so I hope the Lord, who we know from 1 Peter 2, he's the shepherd of our soul. I love this verse. He's indwelling us right now. And he's an overseer. So right now, it's early in the morning, my time. It's late afternoon, your time. Doesn't matter what the time is. The Lord is within you, knowing where you are, what you need, the kind of loving care. This is our wonderful Christ dwelling in us. And because we had this experience of Christ more and more, he will step by step let us know, I need your cooperation. Not just this co-worker who does this or this leading brother somewhere. You have a portion that no one else has. You have a particular function that no one else can carry out. And so his will to be done on earth and for his eternal purpose to be fulfilled, God needs our cooperation. So maybe the thought of cooperation is coming forth. Now let's look at some of the details here. God can carry out on earth what he has planned in heaven only when we have people who will cooperate with him. Just consider this. Right now, surely God wants to carry out on the earth. God wants to do something in the city, in the country where you live. Just having this feeling. God wants something in this part of the earth. And so he planned to have this, but it will not be carried out unless we cooperate with him. And we all are familiar with the opening chapter of the entire Bible in Genesis chapter 1. That we were created in his image. We were created to express him. So we were created to be his corporate expression. And then he just gave us this charge, recover the earth. So he's not going to do it directly. We were created to cooperate with him and to coordinate with him. So God needs to gain people on earth who will cooperate with him and work with him according to his mind. Well, let's look at this. God needs to gain people on earth. You're in Sweden. God needs at least some more people in Sweden, in Denmark, in Norway, in Finland, in the Baltic countries. There's a need. And he needs brothers and sisters to cooperate with him and work with him according to his mind. Now, I'm not surprised if you wonder, according to his mind, how are we supposed to know what he's thinking? What is his mind? Well, if we turn our heart to the Lord, then we will consider this verse, set your mind on the Spirit. That our mind is going to be focused on certain things. And God needs human beings who will set their mind on the indwelling Christ and are willing to learn what this means, how to do this. Because we need to know his mind. And you consider in our daily living, our mind is the source of almost all the things we do. And then the mind then stirs up a particular feeling. You have a thought about this, it could make you joyful, it could make you afraid, it could make you whatever. The point is that the mind is the beginning part. So what is he thinking? And we have this in the New Testament. This is why we need to read the Bible every day, little by little, to finding out what God is thinking. So that our mind is set on his mind, and then we can cooperate with him. Okay, point two. As long as there are those who are of the same mind as God and are willing to work with him, God's work will be carried out on earth. Let's just consider this. As long as there are those who are of the same mind as God. Right now, there are tens of millions of believers, genuine Christians, and they have been taught wrongly about God's plan for the future. They would say, well, my sins have been forgiven. I've been born again to have the life of God. And now I'm going to heaven. And just by having this thought nullifies everything else. That is why the Lord needed to have the genuine recovery with the ministry of the age. To know what is in his mind, it's not that you're going to look forward to heaven. Many years ago, I was visiting my parents and I was in a certain place. And I saw this man, I could tell that he was a preacher. And on his, he was wearing something on him, on the back it said, supposedly the Lord was saying, I have gone away to prepare a place for you in heaven. And then I will come and take you there. So is that going to be, how sad this is that dear brothers and sisters are taught this and they believe this. There's going to be a nice place for every one of us. But we're going to be in a giant building. We'll all have our own apartment. This is ridiculous. That's why we surely need to know God's mind, that he created us to express him and represent him. He redeemed us, he regenerated us to bring us back to his original intention. As long as there are those who are of the same mind as God and are willing to work with Him, these two things, willing to work with Him, God's work will be carried out on earth. And all of you, dear brothers and sisters, you have the opportunity and you also have the responsibility to carry out God's work, that is doing God's will in that part of the earth where you are living. Just having this deep feeling within us, this issues in cooperation. Lord, it's becoming clear. You need cooperation. You need brothers and sisters to labor with you in so many ways. And I'm one of them. Lord, please train me to cooperate with you in this way. One, God is omnipotent. That means He's powerful beyond description. But His omnipotence is subject to limitations. Excuse me again. Are subject to limitations because He must have certain conditions suitable for His living. So God has absolute power. The capacity is beyond measure, but it's subject to limitation. And to have this taking place, there are certain conditions. And so the Lord will make it known in our fellowship with Him. This is not only what I want you to do, this is where I want you to be, but this is how I need you to cooperate. So man was created with a free will, with the limitations of God began at this point. Because there are beings on the earth that have a will, then they will do certain things for God. When they function, this part of their being. But He created us with this. And so, the Lord is limited deliberately, but the limitation is removed when we are willing and we are actually cooperating with Him, to saying, Lord, I'm not here for myself. I'm not living for my personal will and desire. You created me, you redeemed me to participate in fulfilling your will. And so I present myself to you day by day. Day by day, Lord, today, what do you want to accomplish today? What do you want to do today? How do you want to live in me today? While we are going through an ordinary day with all of our human responsibilities, inwardly, the Lord needs us to be cooperating with His will. So little b, God wants the human will to be on his side. Therefore, he accepts limitation that his desire entails. So God wants the human will to be on his side. He at this present moment, how many people on the earth are using their will to cooperate with the will of God? Maybe 0.1%. That's just a guess. And what a privilege you have. The fact that you would come together for this gathering, for this conference, this makes it crystal clear. You have a portion. You're here to cooperate. You are here to open the way for the Lord's will and purpose to be carried out. The time will come when each one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to make known to us whether or not we will be a co-king with him during the 1,000 years of millennium. Wouldn't it be deeply touching if he would say, "My dear one, your life contributed to fulfilling my will. What I assigned to you, you received. I trained you, and you carried out your portion." And I'm just thinking about this particular speaking the Lord said about people that are serving, and one have a lot of gifts. They have five. And so when they stand before the Lord, they say, "You gave me five, and look, I produced five more." He said, "Well done. Enter into my joy." And then another believer said, "Lord, you gave me two, and I used them to produce another two." And they got the same reward. But the main point was those who would come and say, "I just have one. So I buried it and kept it safe for you." And somewhere in his ministry, Brother Nee says, if all of the saints on the earth that have this single capacity, there will be a marvelous development on the earth. Because it's going to be the one portion believers that are going to fulfill corporately God's will on the earth. And I emphasize again, you have a portion that no one else has. And the Lord wants to train you, and he wants to guide you so that you would use the capacity that he gave you based upon your regeneration. And wouldn't it be marvelous if all of us were at the judgment seat, and the vast majority of those with one measure, but the Lord would say to all, "Well done, good and faithful slave, well done." No, you didn't travel around the earth and have conferences. You were not a so-called elder or leading one. You were a brother or sister. You're a member of the body. But you were faithful. You were diligent. You cooperated with me, with what I gave to you. And now with joy, I'm saying to you, come into the coming age. This is going to take place in one way or another. K3, as members of Christ's organic, mystical body, we are either expressing him or limiting him. This is quite a touching point. We are either expressing him or limiting him. So let's not try to examine ourselves. Let's not be inward. Let's just turn our heart to the Lord afresh and say, Lord, I don't want to be limiting you anymore. Please train me to use what you gave me to express you and not limit you. The Lord needs to bring us to the point where we have nothing to hinder him. Nothing to hinder him. Now, all of us by nature, we do. Our disposition, our culture, whatever it is. But the Lord, by his organic salvation, is able to deliver us from this. That we are not hindering him. But if we stay in ourself, or if we're governed and directed by our disposition, then God is really limited. But if we're willing for the Lord to transform us step by step, that's in Romans 12, or we're willing for Christ to make his home in our heart, Ephesians 3, then the things in our being that hinder God are gone. So this is the outcome, the issue, or at least one of the aspects, of being transformed. Now, the indwelling Christ is not held back. Rather, the indwelling Christ is not hindered. He wants to pray this kind of prayer. Now it's flowing out of me. Like John chapter 15, verse 7. If my prayers abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done. So the prayer begins with the Lord. He dispenses it into us. And what was only the Lord's desire is now our desire. And then his prayer becomes our prayer. And then the Lord can carry out what's on his heart without being hindered. Rather, whatever he wills, he can do. I'm just thinking now of some of the things I've heard about from proper sources concerning Watchman Nee. But I've thought again and again, when he was safe in Hong Kong, he could have gone to the United States, he could have gone to UK. But one morning he asked someone, take me to the train station. And he went back into China knowing the particular group of people that was taking control of the whole country. And Brother Lee told us in 1948, in November, he called for all the co-workers in China to come and meet together with him. And he said, the person who has now been elected to be the president of the United States, we are clear, he will not take care of us against a certain group of people taking control. And you all need to be ready to pay the price. And then, and Brother Lee shared this openly more than once, then he said, our brother witness Lee, you cannot stay here. You must move either to Taiwan or Hong Kong. And while they were taking a walk together before dinner time, they were both weeping. And Brother Lee asked, why can I not stay? Am I not worthy? And Brother Nee pointed out that no, we have to send you out. So what the Lord has been producing here can continue. That is will. And we know for the last 20 years of his life, Watchman Nee was, I wouldn't say in prison, but he was in a very limited situation. And I can't prove what I'm about to say, but I believe outwardly he couldn't do anything. Inwardly, he was praying non-stop for the will of God to be done. And I also personally believe, based upon something that Brother Lee said to me when we were working together one morning, that he is praying for us, and we are praying for him. That he paid the price. And I believe that without his portion, and without that older woman from UK who helped him grow in life, she was a gift from God to go to China and fall into the ground and die, doing the will of God, absolutely. And that's how we're all here. If that had not taken place, I don't know where I would have been. After I graduated from seminary, 2 years later, I'm in the Lord's recovery. If this had never taken place, I would have been a preacher in the denomination and then retired 20 years ago. Just how we thank the Lord for the faithfulness of brothers and sisters that have gone ahead of us. Because the Lord had nothing that was limiting him now. Little B, once the Lord has brought us to a place of total respect of, what's this here? What's the word? Responsiveness to him. He will have a free and unhindered way to accomplish his will. So now he has people who are cooperating with him. They have responsiveness with him. Now his will is unhindered. It will be accomplished. There will be nothing that God cannot do to carry out his purpose on the earth. Wow. In other words, for God to be able to say, now I'm finally unlimited. I'm unlimited in Europe now. For centuries, I was limited to the extreme. But now there are brothers and sisters that are cooperating with me, and I am not limited in any way. Rather, I have a way to carry out my will in this part of the earth in a way that I had never have been for 2,000 years. It's not mainly a responsibility, brothers and sisters. This is a privilege that we could participate, that we could be among the faithful saints that are opening the way for his will to be done unhindered. And yes, almost all of us are in the process of living this way before the Lord. So we simply pray, Lord, raise up a group of people who will cooperate with you absolutely, so nothing will hinder you in this part of the earth. And now we come to the next section, the major section. God needs the prayer that expresses his will. This is the second need. Well, when God created the heaven and earth, he didn't need anyone to pray. But once human beings were created on the earth, he limited himself with the intention of doing all that's according to his will in response to the prayers of the saints. So God needs the prayer that expresses his will. So as we approach this subject, let's just all come poor in spirit, pure in heart, as learners. Lord, Lord, please teach us, train us to pray in a way that expresses your will. So now let's look at the points to help us get a clear view. God's will is his heart's desire. Let's just pause here. The heart's desire. We know from Ephesians 1, the Lord's being is open to us, and I can honestly testify on his behalf that the desire of God's heart becomes the desire of our heart. Every human being desires certain things from within. The vast majority never have that take place. But in their being, this is what they are yearning for. But now we realize God has a heart's desire. And God's will is his heart's desire. So this is quite touching, dear ones. When we want to know and do the will of God, it's not just God saying, this is what I want. Okay, obey me and do it. That's not his relationship with us. He would say, I need you to carry out my will by knowing and experiencing my heart's desire. What a heart he has. I just wonder, what are his hearts? Again, I say, for Europe. In the United States, he raised up that country, rather young compared to all the countries where you are, but for his final move on the earth. And the enemy is so active in the last 2 or 3 years, worse than ever before. But he needs us to pray that his heart's desire would be fulfilled here and now. Then God's will is his mingling with man. I can't get into the details, but we are created with a human will, and the life-giving spirit has come into our human will. And our will and God's will are mingled together. This is amazing. All of us, deep within, we not just have our human will. Our human will, regenerated, is now mingled with the Spirit, the will of God. And the fulfillment of his eternal plan. Two, the will of God is to obtain a body for Christ to be his fullness, his expression. Later this year, as the Lord leads, there'll be a conference on the body of Christ and body consciousness. And what is that? I'll just give you an idea. Okay, we are all conscious that we're human beings. We're all conscious that we are children of God. We have been redeemed. We have been forgiven. We have been regenerated. Also, we know that we are members of a local church somewhere. But to have the inward realization, I am a member of the body. The goal of God's purpose is the organic body of Christ, to be his fullness, his expression. And I can assure you, at this present moment, the Lord is praying, he's interceding, he has the deep desire and concern in his heart that there will be more brothers and sisters throughout the earth in the various churches, will be body conscious. And if the brothers and sisters in a certain locality, if they are body conscious, they will consider what we are doing here is a body matter. Please allow me just to give a very brief testimony. 2 years ago, when I was in severe pain in part of my body, and I asked Brother Rick, please take me to the emergency room at this one hospital. And he took me there, and the doctors found out the cause of that, but they say, we'll take care of that, but now we realize you have very serious problems with your heart. You need open quadruple surgery. And when I was told this by my cardiologist, within 10 or 15 seconds, I just had this feeling. This is a body matter. I cannot go on without the body. And even this is for the body. And that was a kind of breakthrough. As I said, I'm still a learner. To be body conscious. To not only be conscious of our local church, but we are body conscious because this is his heart's desire, to obtain a body for Christ. I'm just pausing here. Before I say anything more, there's just a kind of prayer coming up. Lord, this is the desire of your heart. This is your will. That your Son will obtain the universal organic body of Christ. May your will be done here and now. Day three, the Father's eternal will is to build up the church upon Christ, the Son, as the rock. That's from Matthew 16. The kingdom is absolutely a matter of God's will and completely fulfills God's will. In fact, the kingdom is God's will. And the verse that makes this clear is Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, so also on earth. So this means that the kingdom of God and the will of God are one. You could say in doctrine, there's some distinctions, yes, but I mean in our actual living, the kingdom of God and the will of God. And I just thank the Lord for his kindness and his mercy that he brought me out of Christianity into the Lord's recovery, knowing that I was seeking the perfect will of God. I would not be satisfied with his permissive will, as I pointed out last time. But I didn't know what it was. But then he made it clear, Ron, it's my kingdom and my will. That was in 1966. That's what I'm still living for. The will of God and the kingdom of God. And again, I'm referring to the judgment seat. When we all finish our course, hopefully, many of us here will finish the course by being raptured alive at the end of this age. But if we finish the course, for the Lord to say, well done. Because you learned that the kingdom of God is God's will. If you're really seeking and doing the will of God, the Lord will make it clear, my will is the kingdom. That's why the Lord taught us to pray for the kingdom to come. This is the function of the churches, to pray and bring the kingdom manifestly, to bring a new age. As believers in Christ, we are on earth to do the Father's will. Whoever does the will of the Father is a relative of the Lord Jesus. That verse would say in that verse 12:30. See, some people came when there was a large number of people saying, your wife, I mean, not your wife, your mother and your daughters are here. And the Lord's response was amazing. He said, everyone who does the will of God is my brother, sister, and mother. This is how the Lord's view, that he considers you your sister, your brother. We need to pray for the Father's will to be done on earth as in the heavens. This is to bring the kingdom of the heavens to the earth. So in a gentle way, I just want to ask you, and I hope that the Lord will use this to motivate you. Here we are, well into July. How often this year, 2024, did you pray concerning the kingdom? The Lord needs more and more prayer. They come out of our being. It's not, now we have a list. Oh, I need to pray this. It's on the list. No, it's part of our being. Okay, B. God needs us to offer prayers that are the expression of his will. Well, we should have the desire to do it, the decision to do it. But then let's just all be calm about it. Lord, show me what this is. I want to offer prayers that express your will. But how can I offer these kind of prayers if I don't know what your will is? So, Lord, lead and guide me that I know your will and can pray to express your will. Prayer is the union of the believer's will with God's will. The greatest use of the church is the fact that it stands for God's will to be done on earth. What a strong statement. The greatest use of the church is the fact that it stands for God's will to be done on earth. For the church to pray means that it stands on God's side to declare it. It wants to declare that it wants what God wants. What a blessing to be a part of a group of people like this. Lord, we want what God wants. We are praying for what you want to be carried out, because we want the same thing. And from time to time, you can tell in a prayer meeting, the saints want the Lord to come back. Lord, come, please come. But there's another side of that. The Lord might respond by saying, yes, but I come for what? That's why we need Revelation 19. The bride, the wife, has made herself ready. Then the Lord will come. For the church to pray means that it finds out God's will and speaks out his will. So we need to find out what it is. And so in the locality where you are, Lord, what is your will for here where we live, where we have the church? And we gladly make it known that you can pray according to what he wills. We have no idea on our own. He doesn't want us to imagine something. Lord, we want to pray your will here and now. But Lord, please make it clear to us, what is your will here and now? For the church to pray means that it stands on God's side to declare that it wants what God wants. This is what we're declaring. Maybe there's only 10 or 12 saints in a certain locality, but we can declare to the universe and to the evil powers in the air, we want what God wants. And we are praying for God's will to be done here. 5, God's works on earth can be accomplished only when there is a will on earth that agrees with God. Okay, this is not just a thought. This is real. People who agree with God. God's will can be accomplished only when there is a will on earth that cooperates with him. That's the only way. We can pray, Lord, may your will be done. But he would indicate, it will be done if you can do on earth and cooperate with me. Whenever man's will is not one with God's will, God is limited. God must have our will in harmony with his will. So what will be the next stage of our church life? Will the Lord be limited, or will the Lord be fully released? Even though he wants, even though God has a will, he wants the free will on earth to echo his will before he does anything. He wants to hear the echoing. He makes his will known. God's will becomes our will. We express it to him in a prayer. And he wants to hear this echo. Then he will take action. Before he does anything. He's well able, of course. He's God. But he wants to hear your prayer first. He knows that there is oneness on the earth concerning my will being done. Okay, little D, after we know God's will, we can say to him, Lord, we want you to do this. We are determined that you should do this. And I don't have the verse here, but there is something like this in Isaiah. We know what the Lord wants. He made it clear. And the Lord is waiting for us to tell him, Lord, do this. Carry this out. We're not begging. We are echoing. This is what he made known to us. Now it's our desire in the prayer. Lord, may this take place. Here and now. So we are determined, and we are determined that God should do it. He loves this kind of prayer. We're not overstepping, we are in oneness with him. Any prayer that is not according to God's will is useless. A prayer that is uttered according to God's will is a most powerful thing. Wow. I want to read that again. A prayer that is uttered according to God's will is a most powerful thing. Why? Because when the will of God is being done on earth, nothing is more powerful than that. Wow, he can come to any part of the earth. And his will is being done because there are people there that are in harmony with him. And they pray according to my will. So a prayer, it's a most powerful thing. Little G, praying in agreement with God is more important than doing anything else. And so it's more important than my giving this message. It's more important than anything else we could do genuinely for him. It's more important than doing anything else. The Lord knows how short we have been that we realize I have to do this. This has to be done. This is so crucial that the Lord would say, yes, but that's not what's important. What's important to me is that you are praying agreeing with me, cooperating with God. God needs our cooperation. God needs our prayers. And now the final point. The prayer ministry of the church is God telling the church what he wants to do, and the church praying on earth what God wants to do. This prayer is not asking God to accomplish what we want to do, but asking God to accomplish what he himself wants to accomplish. So I conclude my portion this way. When we're praying, we're not focused on, Lord, please do this for this need I have in my situation. Lord, we're praying for your will to accomplish your purpose and your heart's desire. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.